If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 84. Just as we do that, we're going to be starting a new series. You know, at the beginning of January, we always like to look at our relationship with God and just set ourselves up for the new year, really reflecting on where we are in our journey with God. As we start into 2014... I'm actually going to be away for a few of these Sundays, well, two of the Sundays anyway. I have a big event coming up, and so I'm disappearing, so you don't have to do the therapy with me as I work out the big birthday that I have coming up. But we do have a very, very gifted speaker who I think is one of the people who has the greatest passion and desire for God. She's a lady called Lynn Patterson. Some of you will know her as the director of Tear Fund. She's not coming to preach as the director of Tear Fund. She's coming to talk in terms of her love and desire for God and that zealousness for seeking after God. And in January, over the next few weeks, Lynn's going to be coming and sharing on the subject. I'm going to be teeing it up this morning, just starting into this theme. But Lynn's going to continue on for the next few weeks. And I'm really excited about this series as we start into it. I believe 2014 is going to be a very exciting year already, and you're going to be hearing about it in the next few weeks. I guess we'd call it a sort of relaunch of Regional Expressions, but certainly looking to re-energize our whole Regional Expressions. And you're going to be getting letters and various things telling you about how we're going to be doing that over the next few weeks. And then we're a bit like Rangers. The church is becoming a new company, and the old charity is going to cease to be, and we're going to start a brand new charity. I can't remember quite the Rangers slogans. What is it? One Rangers, forever the same sort of idea. Well, I don't know if it's quite the same for SBC or not, but we become a new legal entity. And becoming a new legal entity, which I think is taking place towards the end of March, is not just going to be an administrative exercise for us here at SBC. We feel it's a really great opportunity to look at what does it mean to be part of SBC? What does it mean to belong to the church? Everybody's going to have to rejoin the new entity that's created. And so we actually want to make that really meaningful. We want to make that a matter of real reflection. And we also want to make that a matter of real commitment. We're going to be later on after the sermon, we're going to be looking at we're going to be making our declaration of covenant, as we always do on the first Sunday. But we're going to be looking at the difference between contract and covenant as we explore the whole issue of membership, what it means to be in covenant and be a covenant community. What does that mean and what does that involve as a church as we go into 2014? And then in the summer, or as we move towards the summer, I want to engage a little bit in the whole independence thing, because I think that's going to feature large as we move towards the autumn. And I want to do some theological reflection on that. And I thought the safest way to do that was to do a sort of retrospective. So our summer series and what we're going to be looking at in the summer is actually how the church shaped the history, the identity of Scotland, particularly in the Wars of Independence and the Declaration of Arbroath and things. But we're using that as a platform for the whole reflection on the theology of independence and that discussion. And so you've got something to look forward to. You'll all be going, oh no, we don't want to come to church and hear about it as well. But I think it's right that we should engage, certainly theologically, in what's happening in the theological debate. But the foundation for all of what we're going to be doing this year, whether it's looking at our mission regionally, or whether it's the whole issue of membership, or the question of how we engage with the independence debate that's taking place in our nation, is our relationship with God. And our relationship with God is born out of our desire for God. And there's no point talking about achieving something unless we have the motivation to go and do it. And motivation is the key, or desire, or passion, if you want to use another word, is the key to so many things that take place in our lives. I was reading a book when I was away a few weeks ago, and it was talking about how the rational part of our head, knowing what we should do, is such a small part of the decisions that we take. That actually it's the irrational part, the emotional part, that is so critical in terms of what we achieve and do. And unless we engage and stir up ourselves and build a passion and a zeal for God, then whatever we set out to do for God over the next year will just be unrealized, because it is born out of a desire. And I can think of no greater psalm in the Bible that expresses a desire for God than Psalm 84. So let's read the psalm. And then how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I just pray that as we come and we consider these words, I pray that you would just speak to each one of us here. I ask that that desire for you would just be reignited in us as we begin this new year. I ask this in your name. Amen. Our desire for God is a fundamental building block for our whole spiritual life. And here we have a psalm, a song that was sung as people made their journey to Jerusalem. Our lives are very much like those kind of journeys. We sort of travel. There's songs being sung by people who haven't quite arrived yet. They're people who don't quite know the presence of God in the way that they really want to know the presence of God. They're on a journey, and maybe the presence of God seems distant from them. Maybe it seems far away. I'm going to be in Israel in a couple of weeks' time, and I know that we're going to do some walking in the desert, because hopefully it won't be too warm. And I know when you start to walk in the desert, if it can seem very, very far away if you're trying to climb or walk to somewhere. And it can feel tough. And sometimes you can feel, what on earth are we doing? I'm sure some of you maybe took New Year walks or Christmas Day walks out in the rain and the wind, and sort of you're about an hour into it, and you're sitting there, and it's freezing, and the rain's battering your face, and you're thinking, what on earth are we doing here? Why are we not at home in front of the fire, staying warm? Did any of you have those experiences? And sometimes it's a bit like that in terms of our life journeys, and in terms of our faith, and in terms of our experience of Christianity. We're on a journey, and sometimes it feels the presence of God is far away. Sometimes it feels that faith is something that is distant. And maybe even a memory. We remember having been in the presence of God, but it doesn't seem that we're there at this time. And as the people traveled and they made these journeys in various weather conditions, they sang to themselves and reignited their desire for God. Because the thing that keeps us going, the thing that gets us through in terms of our faith and our spiritual journey and our life's journey, is ultimately our desire for God. Sometimes that's all we have. Sometimes our experience of the presence of God just feels like those deserts where it's dry and it feels distant. Maybe you start this year wondering, where's God in my life? And my experience of God seems far off and distant. But God wants you to have a desire. Because the one thing that God promises us, and we'll see it actually as we go through this psalm, is that those who desire and seek Him will find Him. It says in the letter to the Hebrews that those who diligently seek God will encounter Him. And it's interesting he uses the word diligent. It doesn't say casual inquirers. It says those who diligently seek. I was hearing a program and they were talking about the notion of how we used to value things so much more because you had to work to get them. And that the idea of actually working to get something has become quite alien to us. And so we lack a sense of value because we don't have to put any effort. But in ancient times, when you sought something and it was harder to find and get it and achieve it, it made it more valuable. And it's the same here with God. God says, if you diligently seek me, if you desire me, if you pursue me, then you will find me. And for us, sometimes the tension is that distance between where we are and where we want to arrive. And the only thing that keeps us going is that desire for God. As the people traveled, and we call these Psalms of Ascent, we actually have a whole bunch of them in the book of Psalms. They occur from Psalm 120 through 134. This one kind of escaped, I don't know quite how, but it is a Psalm of Ascent, but it didn't make it into the main body of the Psalms of Ascent. But as they went, they talked of the joy of seeking God out, what it meant as they traveled to it. Here we see the holy desire being described, and it's a bit like a sandwich, this psalm. Verses 1 and 2 describe the nature of holy desire, and then verses 10 through 12 talk of the bases. He goes on to talk about what God's like and the bases of holy desire. I just want to look at that, and then we'll look at the consequences of this desire. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You immediately get a sense, this isn't just some sort of incidental inclination that is being expressed here by the people as they sing this song. This is something that is all-consuming. This is something that they are desperate to know. They want to know the dwelling place of the Lord Almighty. He says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. The word soul there is the idea of my life energy, my being yearns. It aches to know the presence of God. It's interesting as we start into 2014. To evaluate how much we seek and desire to know the presence of God in our lives as we go into this year. Is it just a kind of incidental thing? Well, if it happens, it happens. Well, it'd be nice. You know, we know it gives us warm, fuzzy feelings, the presence of God. That's great. And if it occurs, well, okay. Or is it something that we have a deep yearning for and a desire to see? God, I want to know your presence in 2014 in a way that I haven't known your presence. God, I want to enter into the reality of an encounter with you as the living God in a way that transforms me and just shakes my world. I want to know what it is to enter into that presence where I encounter the Shekinah glory of God. The psalmist says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That word heart, it actually means mind. It's just to confuse us. But when you read in the Old Testament, the word heart, that the heart is actually the organ of intellect. When they talk about loving God with all your heart, it's actually talking about your mind, using your mind to love God. When they talk about the center of emotions, they talk about your bowels in the Old Testament. So if they were singing a love song, they say, "I love you, baby, with all my bowels." And but here it says, "My heart, my intellect, my mind." You know, I want to engage with seeking God with my mind. One of the things about Christianity today, and a lot of us as Christians, is that we have become very, very lazy intellectually. And we don't think through our faith, and we don't wrestle with the great questions. There was a brilliant Christian thinker, a man called Augustine, and Augustine, when he did theology, he did it as prayer. He wrote a book called The Confessions, and actually, if you want a good New Year resolution, read Augustine's Confessions in 2014, a book well worth reading. And he began by seeking God in prayer, and as he goes through, The whole thing is done with asking deep questions about the nature of God and how God interacts with the world. And he's thinking it through. But he's thinking it through not as some sort of academic exercise that's being done in some ivory tower. But he's thinking through his faith as a way of encountering and knowing God. And as Christians, we need to be people who think through our faith as a way of encountering and knowing God. There is nothing wrong with our intellects in terms of our faith. And then he talks about my flesh cries out, my very body yearns to know the presence of God. That sense of it's not just an intellectual thing, it's not just an internal thing, but it's actually something that physically engages me. Again, next or 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be in Jerusalem. And in fact, 2 weeks today, I'll be in Jerusalem. And I'll be going down to the Wailing Wall. And you'll know if you go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, you'll see Orthodox Jews there with their hats on and things. And they're shaking in front of the wall. They take literally a statement in the Pentateuch that says, every bone in my body will shake before God. And so they shake as they pray. But they're involving their body as they seek God. One of the things, again, that we need to engage with a little more is actually our bodies in worship and prayer. I'm an introvert, so I don't like anything too out there. You'll be glad to know. But actually, how we use our bodies is very important in our seeking of God. There's something very tangible. I mean, if you come to church and you kind of listen to the sermons like this, or you sing the songs like this, or we pray in a certain way that's so closed off, it actually influences how we encounter and meet God. And I think sometimes bowing before God, raising our hands, and expressing and using our bodies in knowing God, it is part of what Christianity involves. So we have this expression, this all-consuming desire being expressed through the mind and the body. And then we see at the end of the psalm, he talks about the basis of this holy desire. Why is he expressing this desire? Because it says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. He said, I give 1,000 days. That's just over 3 years. 1,000 days. To be, or just under 3 years, 1,000 days to be, just have one day with God. Just one day, because a day with God is so much better than a day without God. You know, as we start 2014, I am increasingly convinced, and over the Christmas and New Year period, I was relating and interacting with quite a lot of non-Christians, and talking to them and hearing about their lives and things. And increasingly, I am convinced that we're in a world that desperately needs to know God. That people living lives without God are not living lives the way that God wants them to be living. And that actually the quality of life when we know the living God, our Creator God, when we're in His presence, that there is such an overwhelming sense of we are what we are meant to be. That it just brings a quality of life that is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. He then says, you know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God The people who wrote this psalm actually were thought to be some of the priests who were the doorkeepers. And they say, you know, it's better just standing at the door greeting people as they come in, because we get to be close to our God and to be near his temple. And then he says, why? Because the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. They have this analogy of the sun and the shield, the idea of the sun beating down, which brings life, but too much sun's not great, so they have this idea of the shield. And it's the notion that God makes provision and provides protection. You know, as we go into our lives in 2014 with our God, he makes provision and provides protection for our life as we move forward into that. Again, a couple of weeks, I'm praying it'll be strong enough, but I might manage to get out some sun cream to protect myself from the sun, hopefully, if we see it, and it may not. But if we do, you know, I'll be protecting myself, and because I don't want to go out into a hostile environment that where I am not protected. And it's the same with our God in 2014. We don't want to go into 2014 without knowing God's provision and knowing his protection in a hostile environment. And then he says, you bestow favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. You know, favor and honor, and he bestows good stuff. And here we have this notion of the presence of God bestowing good things to us. Good things as we go into 2014. Now, I don't know what this year holds. And I mean, given a congregation of this size, I'm sure we will have some exceptional things and great things happening this year. And I'm sure we may have some disappointments and hard things happening this year as we go into it. But what I do know is that if we go into it with seeking and desiring the presence of God, God will not hold good things from us, even in the midst of the difficult stuff or the really great stuff. We will know God's favor and the bestowing of his presence. Psalmist explains a little bit more about what that looks like in the earlier verses. He talks about birds in the temple. He obviously, as he was writing this song, he noticed that there were sparrows and swallows that were making their nests, maybe high up in the temple itself. And he was saying, you see, the birds know that they've reached home. And he says, you know, when you encounter the presence of God, there is a sense of being home, a sense of peace. In fact, Augustine, again, in his Confessions, when he starts off, he says, our hearts are restless until they come to rest in the arms of our God. There's a restlessness in our humanity. And again, if you do 2014 without God, you will be restless, and you may pursue many things, and you might achieve many things, but there will be an emptiness in terms of your heart. But when we pursue God and we encounter his presence, there's a sense of being home and finding that peace, that rest that God intends for us. In the Old Testament, there's a whole analogy of the Sabbath. It then talks about a renewal. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They talk here about the renewal of our strength. It goes from strength to strength. You see, when we have the presence of God, there comes a renewing. And you one of the things you discover, and again, this is why I'm going away, so I don't give you too many reflections on getting old. But as you get a little bit older, you do notice that your energy levels are slightly more decreased. You know, 10 years ago, you would have been up there and walking out in the rain and the cold and the wet. Now you're a bit older, you're thinking, is this really such a good idea? You know how you reach that point? And your energy levels just are slightly more depleted than they used to be. And what the psalmist is saying, you see, when you encounter the presence of God, your energy levels are renewed. And you are re-energized by God. And one of the really important things, and I speak to those of us who are getting older, is that we continue being re-energized by our God so that we have an excitement and an energy to tell people about Christ, an energy to serve our God, an energy to learn from His Word, like a, you know, a 20-year-old or a teenager, that we have that same energy to do these things. And where does that come from? It comes from the presence of God. When we don't have that presence, then we lose that energy. And then we just begin to wander or even start to give up. And so it renews us. And then it talks about this idea of refreshing. It talks about the valley of Baca. That means the valley of weeping or tears or sorrow. And this is obviously a hard place. And what he's saying is, even when we're walking through these tough places to walk through, places where the environment is hostile to us, you make it a place of springs. You actually start to put refreshing pools in the middle of these places where we can find refreshment and new energy to face what we are going through. This is what the presence of God brings to us. And so the psalmist encourages us. He says, you know, seek the presence of God on your journey. Seek and desire to know that God. And in the same way as we enter into 2014, I encourage you, seek after that God. If you haven't got that level of desire for God that drives your mind and your body to know Him, then you know, start to pray after God and say, God, renew my desire and my passion for you so that this year, 2014, I can know your rest. I can know what it is to feel coming home and be in the presence of God. That I can know your renewing power and that re-energizing that just reignites my spiritual life and my walk with you. And I can know that refreshing and your presence in some of the hard things and the sorrows that I might have to face as I go into this year. Lord Jesus, come and let us know your presence. Let's pray.